Blog Talk Radio.
You got to look at it this way, okay? You just got to look at it. That's all you can do anymore.
You just got to look at it that way. You know, really, honestly, that's all you can do anymore. Hey, welcome to Randomize, number 8. Yeah, it's what a night, what a week, what a month. I know it's been a while since I talked to all you folks, but I've been taking a break a little bit. I've been busy with work. I've been busy with other things, but tonight I have a lot of things to educate you with. Let's say it that way. By the way, I am your host, Jeremy, J-E-R-E-M-Y Johnson, with an S-O-N. Yeah, that's right, Jeremy Johnson. I'm here tonight to tell you guys about a lot of things that I've been seeing and observing and digging into. And tonight will be a special moment for a lot of you. tonight, for the first time in a while, I felt good enough to come on and give you informative information involving the fall of Minneapolis, involving election fraud, involving January 6th. I'm hoping my friend Daryl Gibbs will be joining me tonight. I called him and asked him if he'd join me. He was busy at the doctor when I called him. So I don't know if he's going to be able to join tonight or not. But if he is, I'll add him in and we'll have a discussion. And we might jump from subject to subject and then back to another subject, and who knows. So those of you that are on my private messenger on Facebook, I ask people if you guys want to hear or get the link to my radio show so we can kind of skip Facebook algorithms, let me know, and I'll add you to the group, private group. And then I just send the link over, and you can listen to it if you want now, live, or you can listen to it later. And had a pretty good amount of people that said that they wanted to hear it. And I thought, oh, that's great. So I've been doing that. And tonight, well, this is your night. This is what it's all about. Now, I got to say something before I get into all the education and details and all that stuff. I've said things on my radio show that may make you think that I'm directing my anger or my frustration out at you, and I apologize for that. It's a couple broadcasts ago, for some reason, it did not get recorded on blogtalkradio.com, which, whatever, I've been having issues with that. But I said, you're just a bunch of dumb motherfuckers, and I was a dumb motherfucker once, too. You know what? I didn't mean that. I wasn't directing that at my listeners. I was directing that at that people that I see in social media that want to continue to defend their stance. Joe Biden, I mean, how the fuck do you defend this guy at this point? Seriously. I mean, the guy is lethargic. I mean, he sits in a room and he can't even keep his eyes open. It's insane to me. Like, how the fuck are you guys, not you guys, when I say you guys or you motherfuckers, I'm not talking about my listeners. I'm talking about the people that I encounter on social media. And I realize some of them, half of them, or maybe even more than that, are bots. They've got a hell of a system set up, ladies and gentlemen, through social media with these bots, and everybody thinks that, I don't know, dude, it's insane. When you really see what's going on and how we're being manipulated, it's just like, holy shit, we are in trouble. Excuse me, I had to light my cigarette. So I'm going to get into the gist of this here shortly. I just wanted to apologize to any of my listeners that may have felt that I was calling them a dumb motherfucker, because I certainly was not. There's a lot of people in this country that are misinformed and don't have the time to pay attention or observe the things that I do. Unfortunately, and I'm going to say it that way, unfortunately, I have the time, and it sucks because I don't get a lot of sleep because I see what's going on, and I also see that a good majority of our population doesn't understand what is happening. We are being overtaken and overran by foreign influence and corrupt politicians that are selling us out to China and other countries. So that's not just my opinion. That is fact based off of what I've seen and observed. So let me get right to The Fall of Minneapolis. The Fall of Minneapolis is a documentary that was created. I can't remember his or her name, and I apologize for that. But I've shared the link in all my social media platforms, so you can go in and watch it for yourself. I got up this morning at 2 a.m. because I had to use the restroom, and I sat down on my table to have a cigarette and checked out X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, and I come across this video, which I hadn't even heard about before. So I clicked on it, and it was an hour and, I think, 50 minutes long. I'm like, I guess I'm going to be up for a while. So I started watching this documentary about what happened with the George Floyd incident in 2020. And before I get into that, let me just tell you that me and a lot of people that I know, friends and truck drivers, had been sitting on Constitution Avenue in May of 2020 from May 1st until May 21st. And we got the hours of service rule changed and some other things in the trucking industry, but we left on the 24th, like all of us had been gone by the 24th. On the 26th of May in 2020 is when the George Floyd incident happened. And shortly after that incident happened, they started rioting on the same avenue that we were sitting at, Constitution Avenue. As a matter of fact, numerous Secret Service were assaulted and statues were defaced and numerous things. So anyway, I watched this documentary, and from the very beginning, I would say within 12 to 15 minutes, I was beyond pissed. And I remind you that this thing goes on for an hour and 45 or an hour and 50 minutes. By the time I got to the 19-minute mark, I was scorching hot. I was so pissed off because the media has lied to you. The governor of Minnesota has lied to you, Governor Tim Walz. And the mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Fry, has lied to you. The DA, Keith Ellison, and his no-good son has lied to all of us. In my opinion, what it seems to me as a Marxist takeover using the incident of George Floyd as a crutch for their Marxist takeover. And I at this point, after I read some of the thing, and I'm going to go back and forth and jump back and forth here, ladies and gentlemen. You just have to bear with me and understand my mind is so scrambled. I've got like 22 filing cabinets in the back of my head, and one pops open and another one, information will pop out. So I jump back and forth a lot. As of late anyway. So you'll have to excuse me for that. But it's my understanding that this was most definitely a talking point or an event for these Marxists to completely take control of the free United States of America as we once knew it. What I've seen disturbed the shit out of me. And when you watch the whole thing, like, I literally had to shut my phone off. I didn't look at social media for 12 hours because, and I took a nap because I was like, I gotta sleep. I gotta clear my head. I'm trying to figure out how to do this from the beginning to the end, but this is very very hard. The media showed you one thing. They showed you the narrative that they wanted you to see, but they refused to show you the truth. And this documentary actually shows you the truth. George Floyd, when the cops approached him, he was sitting in a blue Ford Explorer with a friend. And they knocked on the door, and he finally opened the door. They gave him direction multiple times because he was accused of passing along fake $20 bills at a grocery store there on the corner of Lake Street and whatever the fuck avenue it is. So they told him to put his hands on the steering wheel, and he refused to obey their orders. He was very fidgety, and you'll see all this in the link that I shared on my social media. And if you have not followed me on social media, by the way, you can follow me at The Disrespected Trucker on X or Twitter, which is at that symbol at Disrespected, capital D, Disrespected, and in capital T, The Disrespected, The, or search The Disrespected Trucker. I posted all this stuff on there, and including autopsy results from George Floyd. On Facebook, you can follow me at Jeremy Johnson, JeremyJohnson. My profile picture is Be the Reason That Someone Doesn't Believe in Government, something like that. Otherwise, on Facebook also, it's The Disrespected Trucker blog account. There's numerous accounts for The Disrespected Trucker. And The Disrespected Trucker radio show, which I'm involved with. I'm just not a part of as admins. I have certain people running stuff because I keep on getting censored and banned, and I don't want to lose those accounts. So I put people that I trust in charge of those accounts. And I don't trust very many people, but I'm not going to say their names here because I love them. They know who they are. Anyway, that's where you find those links. I can't post it on many other social media platforms because I get banned or censored because of it. But that link is up on Facebook and Twitter, X, so you can go and watch the 1 hour and 50 minute, The Fall of Minneapolis on your own. So let me get back to it. They approached George Floyd, and he was very uncooperative. And then he kind of started whimpering and kind of crying like a bitch and said he didn't want to go back, whatever the fuck that means. I'm assuming prison or jail. And as this documentary goes on, they free shot some of the body cam footage. And in the body cam footage, you can see a white little packet in the back corner of his mouth, which means that he was trying to swallow or get rid of the evidence of drugs on him, which he's been charged with numerous times. Oh, dude, when I watched this, I was so fucking mad. This is just ridiculously crazy that our media and our government has lied to us as bad as they have. Because of the George Floyd incident, I think I've read or seen that 380 officers have retired or quit from the Minneapolis Police Department. Numerous have retired. And listening to their stories was absolutely heartbreaking. These were people that signed up to be police officers to protect and serve, and they were treated like second-class citizens. I was sick to my stomach. Shit. So as this documentary goes on, they're talking about every aspect of you know, they called EMS within 35 seconds of him being taken out of the squad and put on the ground. And in the court hearing later on in the documentary, an EMS person said it was a way longer time for the EMS to respond than normal. And when they did pick up George Floyd after the 9 minutes or 8 minutes, that the media says that Derek Chauvin was kneeling on his neck, which, by the way, was not kneeling on his neck. It was the video view that you've seen that made you think that. But when they put him back in the back of the ambulance, they were trying to hook up oxygen, whatever the hell the EMS does. And I'm no expert on that by any means. But the tube was, like, taped up into the apparatus that they were putting onto him. So they made it look like they were trying to help him in the back of the ambulance, the EMS did. But it's fucking crazy when you watch this thing. And you guys are just getting my firsthand or my secondhand knowledge or whatever you want to call it. But you need to go watch this. Search the Fall of Minneapolis documentary, and you're going to see what I see, and you're going to be very pissed off because it's very, very obvious that not only has our media lied to us, but our government officials have lied to us also. And it really certainly seems like this was some kind of a setup. I don't know. But there were certain things in court when they went to court. By the way, the George family, George Floyd's family, settled out of court, or settled with the court, whatever, or settled with the city before the trial even happened. For $27 million. $27 million of taxpayer money got sent to a family, in my opinion, of a fucking drug addict, a fucking domestic abuser, a fucking piece of shit, a criminal, a career criminal. And, you know, there may be some of you that listen to this and say, oh, my God, you don't have to be so cruel. Yeah, no, I do. I have to be, I'm going to be honest with you. This country, the state, that city of Minneapolis and St. Paul, these politicians and this media are the enemy of you. You are not getting the truth. It's guys like me that are trying to share the truth, and we get so burnt out, mentally and emotionally exhausted, that we disappear for months at a time because it's so overwhelming for us. And you don't get that, a lot of you. And again, this is not directed at my loyal listeners. This is directed at people that are criticized or are critical of the things that I try to tell them or the truth that I try to tell them. They don't want to hear the truth. They want their feelings verified. They want their feelings justified. Well, I'm sorry, but fuck your feelings. Your feelings don't matter when there's facts out there that prove that your feelings are fucking retarded. And I don't like to use that word either, but it is what it is. I'm not going to sit here and coddle your fucking feelings because it makes you feel uncomfortable. The truth is supposed to make you feel uncomfortable. That way, history doesn't repeat itself. But we are in the time where history repeats itself, unfortunately. And what's sad about that is we're all stuck in the middle of that. We're stuck in the middle of ignorant people, people that suffer from cognitive dissonance and Stockholm syndrome. And if you don't know what cognitive dissonance is or the Stockholm syndrome, please go look it up. It's insane to me. And I used to be one of those people. Not too long ago, three years ago, I was an anti-Trumper. I suffer from the Trump derangement syndrome because the media had me so fucking brainwashed. And this isn't about Trump. This is about the George Floyd incident. The 13th Precinct in Minneapolis, what they told those police officers, they were bringing in moving vans to empty out the precinct because they knew they were going to get attacked. Rather than stand their ground and defend their position, Mayor Fry, and I'm assuming under the Governor Walz's direction, told them to remove everything and just evacuate. Rather than defend their position and shoot to kill any cocksucker or piece of shit that wants to destroy property because of their feelings, no. We're going to allow them to cause billions of dollars of damage across Minneapolis in May of 2020 and early June of 2020. That's when I started questioning things, and that's when I quit voting for the Democratic Party, and that's when I know that I made the best decision I have ever made, because these politicians are corrupt to the core. It's all about some kind of a political position. Remember, 2020, early 2020, we were going into an election year, a very important election year, where the establishment did not like Donald Trump. And they let that last all summer across all the major cities in the United States. I remember talking to my friend Tony, and me and him would not drive in metropolitan areas after dark because they were throwing bricks off overpasses. There was a FedEx driver in St. Louis that got attacked by a mob, and they were on the back of his, he was pulling doubles. And if you don't know what that means, that's like a smaller trailer behind the tractor, and then another smaller behind that. But you can call them pups or doubles or whatever you want to call them. But a guy got in between those doubles, and at the same time, there was somebody banging on his windshield. And he's like, fuck this, I'm out of here. So he took off, didn't realize that there was somebody in between back there trying to break into his first double, and basically got him caught in the wheels and drug him for I don't know how long it was. It killed him. And they wanted him arrested for murder. This is how backwards and how George Orwell 1984 dystopian bullshit that we've got going on in this country right now, because we've allowed the crazy minority, the crazy people, the people that belong in a fucking mental asylum, we've allowed them to dictate what's right and what's wrong. And it really scares the shit out of me when you start reading George Orwell 1984 and when you start watching some of the Simpsons predictions, and I think, I don't know, they're at 19 or 29 predictions at this point. There's coincidences, and there's like, how the fuck did you know that? And how did you know such detail? There's a lot of things I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that we just don't know. We might think we're informed or smart or whatever, but how does the Simpsons predict 19 to 29 or whatever the fuck it is? How do they predict that? It doesn't make sense to me. So, yeah. I know you guys are, you know, some of you are probably like, Jesus Christ, man, what the fucking Simpsons? I'm telling you, I've looked into this stuff, and there's one Simpson episode where they predicted Donald Trump become president, and he's going down an escalator. And up to the top, as he's going down the escalator, up to his right, there's a glass, like a partition, you know, so people can't fall over, you know, the edge. And somebody drops a piece of paper in The Simpsons. Somebody drops a piece of paper or one of their signs that they were holding. And when you watch it on the news or the clips of him actually going down when he was elected president, going down those escalators at the very same time that The Simpsons show that on their episode, this guy was standing, or lady, whatever it was standing above that glass partition and dropped her sign at the exact same time in the exact same manner. when you see that, it's like, wait a minute. Now you, I can see you can predict, oh, Trump got president. I mean, even that though is like, wait a minute. Now, how do you predict that? Nobody would predict Trump being president, but the Simpsons did. But when you predict that the sign falls at the exact same time, at the exact same place on the escalator from a cartoon to real life, there's something fucking way deeper than what we could ever even imagine. Like, I know it sounds crazy. When somebody told me that, I was like, oh, get the fuck out of here. Come on. I mean, come on. Then you see it with your own two eyes, and you watch it, and you watch it happen, and you see the episode that was created 2 decades before that even happened. You think to yourself, holy fuck, what don't we know? What don't we know about the Catholic Church with the Pope and dude, I'm telling you, when you go down this rabbit hole, you'll never be the same. I promise you, you'll never be the same. I know a lot of people, you know, that used to be really close to me, or I thought were really close to me, and I'll talk to them, and they just have no interest in talking with me anymore because they think I fell off the deep end. The fact of the matter is I've been involved with too many things that, and I pay attention to too many things that gives me the truth, and it's detrimental to people that are still sleeping and still have their heads buried in the sand. Which, you know, I was just telling somebody tonight, you know, what's frustrating for me is like, well, Michael Rappaport, of all fucking people, Michael Rappaport is like one of the biggest liberals that I have ever seen or witnessed or heard in my entire life. And he's completely unhinged on Twitter. He actually came out with a video the other day, like literally this guy. Like when you think about an unhinged liberal, think about Michael Rappaport. That fucking guy hates Donald Trump. Like Donald Trump lives rent-free in his head like 24/7. But this guy came out and did a video the other day and admitted that he would vote for, I can't remember how he, I think he called him a small dick Trump or something like that. I would vote for small dick Trump before I would vote for Joe Biden if that's our two choices. We got to fix this. Even Michael Rappaport sees what kind of trouble this country is in because of this administration and because of a stolen election. And I know, before you say it, what do you mean a stolen election? That's been debunked. Three key words. Well, five. Or three. I know. Debunked. Remember that one? Misinformation. Disinformation. Anytime you hear those three words, you know you're onto something. Because that's the establishment, the CIA, and the mainstream media all working together to convince you, oh, and conspiracy theorists, to convince you that you're being lied to when, in fact, you're being told the truth and they try to discredit you. I've had it happen to me personally, so I know what I'm talking about. You know, shit. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to join this conversation tonight, you want to get on here and have a conversation with me and share your thoughts and your opinions, you're more than welcome. The guest call-in number is 516. So I'll repeat that. I'll let you run and grab a pen, a piece of paper, or type it in your phone. The phone number, the guest call-in number, is 516-387-1733. And when you get through, when you're listening to me on your headset or your phone, just press that number one. It ain't going to ask you to. Just press the number one. That lets me know on my switchboard that I have fired up here that you want to come on live on air with me and share your thoughts or your opinions. Again, that phone number is 516-387-1733. All right. Onward, James. Oh, man, my head is just spinning tonight. Let me shut off my little heater here. Jesus H. Feels like fucking the Bahamas in here. Oh, I see somebody wants to come on here and say something. 7106. I'll bring you on right now. Give me 2 seconds. You're on the air, 7106.
What's happening, Jeremy? This is Bill. Wild Bill.
Hey, Bill. How's it going, man?
Pretty good night. I don't know what you're talking about, a heater. I'm standing outside. It feels pretty good out here. I'm in Florida.
Oh, shit, dude. It's like probably 30 degrees outside, but in my apartment, it's like fucking 90 degrees. It's like, damn, bro, I can't take this shit. I'm fat. I'm out of shape.
That's way
insulated
to keep it in the house if it does get cold. No, I just got back from Key West. That was sweet. It was nice down there. I mean, it's like 60
right?
here, but Key West never dropped below like 77 degrees at night. I was like loving it. But you were talking about how, like, the Simpsons and everything else. Or you remember the train crash in Ohio, right?
Yeah, in East Palestine, yeah.
And that was, yeah, right. They made a movie about that, like, it was either like 3-6 months or something before that. It had hit the air or whatever and showed this movie. It was the exact same thing that happened.
Yeah,
I've
seen
look
that. Like, before,
it.
Like 6 months before it even happened, they already had
right.
a movie about it.
Exactly.
People don't like they don't connect the dots. It's like, guys, you've got to start looking at shit a little bit closer. How do they know about this shit? There's no way that there's a coincidence that great that like, oh, we could have guessed that. No, you can't do that unless
right.
they know something that we don't know. It's insane to me.
I forgot what that one movie was where Korea comes over and attacks us. You know what I'm saying? It's like, almost like you might want to be worried about that. Hollywood has a way of telling you what's going to happen without telling you what's going to happen. You know, they make you think it's just this great movie. When
well, that's what Hollywood does. I've learned through the years, like when you watch Hollywood movies and you watch, you know, whatever, and you're like, dude, how the fuck did they know about that? I mean, that's a pretty weird coincidence that they could make a movie and the exact same thing happened. What the fuck was that? Was that a gunshot?
Coyote. Sorry, I got coyote. Sorry. I got a loud story.
It's like, damn, dude, what am I, on the phone with a gangster or what?
Sorry, but I got a 40-acre farm. I live out in the middle of nowhere. I got my cow on the front.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, anybody listening, do not fuck with this guy.
Well, I stay armed, buddy. You believe that? And nowadays, I recommend it to everybody. I get my AR in my truck.
You know, bro, it's there's a lot of guys I know that carry, that carry in their truck, and we have to because this world has gone fucking crazy, isn't it, Bill?
Howdy.
It's absolutely insane. You look at what happened to that FedEx driver in St. Louis.
Who would
look at all those other truck drivers
anywhere?
That got attacked?
Look at all the trucks getting robbed left and right. Theft is up. What did they say? 63%.
Yeah.
On tractor trailers, your theft rate. I mean, I'm not going to let you rob my truck. I'm sorry. Ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm licensed. I got my license. I got insurance. I'm part of U.S.
You're going to have a hole the size of the Grand Canyon beside your forehead if you try to rob my truck. You know what I'm saying?
I tell everybody, get your concealed weapons permit, all the drivers. Get your concealed weapons. Carry. There's an app that tells you everything you do, every state, every law. So when you come in that state, you know what you can do, what you can't do, whether you're reciprocal or you're not reciprocal, how you got to take care of it. And also, it gives you $2 million worth of insurance. That's the USCCA. I've been a part of it for a while. It gives you $1 million bond if they lock you up. It gives you $1 million for if somebody tries to sue you. And you got the best lawyers in the country. For Second Amendment, the best.
Yeah,
in the
you gotta protect yourself.
The same ones that represented Kyle Rittenhouse are the same ones you're gonna have.
Yeah,
you got those lawyers on your side, and it's Soon as you something happens, you call the police, you take, you call 911, report what happened. Second thing you do is you pull your little card out, you call their number, and you're instantly connected to a lawyer right then and there. And from there, they start handling stuff, and they're on it.
Yeah.
So hey,
Bill, are you on Twitter at all?
No, I look at it every now and then. I don't, can't even remember my password to get on it. You know,
oh,
I got off Twitter.
Yeah.
So screwed up.
That was
back in the day. Like,
what I wanted to talk about tonight was the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, officially releases the first batch of the January 6th tapes. And when you watch some of the stuff that's been pulled out of that, without a shadow of a doubt, J6 was a setup, in my opinion, by the Democrats, by Antifa, and by the FBI. They were literally unhandcuffing somebody that they handcuffed in front of the cameras, but off a camera, they unhandcuffed
him.
Yeah,
that's a
big
dude, too. The Democrats tried to put a bill out on the second, trying to restrict guns and make ARs illegal and everything else like that. He wouldn't even put it on the floor. He told him, no, go on away. We ain't doing nothing with that. Get out of here with that crap.
It's because
they were all
these,
mad. Democrats are pissed.
These career politicians don't understand when the Second Amendment states that your Second Amendment right shall not be infringed upon, means that any gun law is unconstitutional. Every one of them.
Exactly.
You cannot restrict my right to defend myself with a firearm. It doesn't mean, well, back in the day when they wrote it, they had muskets. That's what they had for weapons, yes. That's what the government had was muskets. But guess what? Now today, the government has M16s and military-grade weapons, what the Democrats call.
Right.
We, as people, should have the same grade weapons that the government has to defend ourselves from a tyrannical government that we obviously see happening today. If you don't like that,
we got
I don't
guns that is an AR-15. Yeah, the AR-15 is nothing more than a dressed-up deer gun. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Some up for hogs. They can be used for bear, wild game guns and stuff like that. They're higher power guns, yeah, but they're not military.
I tell you, I got
ARs and stuff. I really, if we go to war, yeah, I'm glad I got it because it's going to help me out a little bit, but it's not the gun I prefer to go to war with. You know what I'm saying? It's
right.
Not what I need. I need to kill the guy with the good gun, take his gun, and then go to war. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no,
that's the way
I get that, but I went to a shooting range with my son. My son has an AR-15. He has an AK-47. My son is he's like 23 years old. He owns his own house already. I mean, he's just a responsible kid. And I've taught him throughout his childhood that, you know, that the Second Amendment wasn't meant for deer hunting or duck hunting. It, you know, the Second Amendment was to defend yourself against a tyrannical government. And he's a responsible gun owner. He keeps his stuff safe, you know, locked and safe. But the first time I shot, I didn't even shoot the AR that day. But we went out to a gun range, and I was standing there. I was looking at my son, and he was setting up the AK-47 for me to shoot. And all of a sudden, the red flag that they put up, you know, when they put the red flag up at a gun range, that means nobody shoots because there's people out on the range. They took that red flag down. And those guys were target practicing behind us, some sheriff's department guys and police officers. And all of a sudden, a bang, bang, bang. And they had to peel me off of heaven because I jumped like a motherfucker. I'd never heard that kind of a bang. And I'll tell you,
right,
those AK-47s, are they loud? Are they powerful? Absolutely they are.
Yes, they are.
I shot the AK-47, and I tell you what, dude, it wasn't that bad of nothing like that AK or the AR-15. But I thought to myself for a second, like, you know, every American should have this to protect themselves. If every American had that, and every criminal knew that every American had one of them in their house, there would be a hell of a lot less break-ins. Because I don't want to get shot with one of those fuckers.
Right. Well, it's like I got my AR-15. It's a 223-556, right? But I also have my 30-30. My 30-30 is more powerful and louder than my AR-15. I can shoot a farther distance with accuracy with that old 1953 30-30 I have. You know what I'm saying? Than I can with the AR.
Yeah.
And, but you want to outlaw the AR. But if I have to cock my gun every time, you know what I'm saying? This one only holds 7 rounds as an old gun. You know?
Yeah. Hey,
you got to cock it every single time. That, you know, is like, so what's the difference between that gun and this gun when I could actually kill you better with this gun at a longer range than what I can with this gun? Yeah.
Hey,
I can shoot across
about
20 acres up here.
Bill, I'm going to add in my friend Daryl here real quick. He called in. I seen he's on here now. One second here. Hey, Daryl, you're live, brother.
Oh, what's going on, my people? How you doing?
What's happening? What's happening?
Just over here getting things done.
Yeah, we're on a we got Bill on here. Bill's a friend of mine on Facebook and stuff, and I don't think I've ever met you, Bill, have I?
No, we ain't met yet. We going to one day.
I hope that's on good terms, brother. I seen the fucking shots in the background. I heard the shots in the background here about 5 minutes ago.
You live out where I do, you got to carry a gun at all times, brother.
Oh, I know that's right. All times.
Between the coyotes, you got crazy-ass foxes. I got cones trying to get my damn chickens. I got the stupid and shit, everything, right? I mean, there's panthers, there's bears, there's you name it.
In the background, bears? Where the fuck you live at?
Yeah, no, I
the jungle?
you leave just outside of town and you'll come to a big old sign on I-10 that says bears, and that's 30 miles.
I tell you what, Bill, when we do finally meet each other, I prefer if you come up to Minnesota, because I don't want to go anywhere near where the fuck you're at if you got bears and panthers and shit.
Oh, they're little black bears. They don't mess with you. They'll run from you. They're more scared of you. That's what I try to tell my kids. Half these animals out here are more scared of you than you are of them.
Yeah,
I know they're scared of me. I shoot at them all the time. They don't like me. Don't none of them like me.
Yeah. Well, hey, I'm gonna get on a conversation with Daryl here, Bill. I appreciate you calling in, though, man.
All right.
All right. We'll catch you later, brother.
Take it easy,
right,
Bill.
All right, everybody. That was my friend Bill. Again, I never met Bill. Really cool cat. I mean, the guy's just a good dude. I see he's just down to earth. He's just a good dude. And I'm going to say a lot more nicer things about him now that I heard him shooting a gun in the background on radio.
There you go.
I had to get him off here, though, because I didn't know if you knew that we had a black man on here, because I don't want start no trouble.
Brown man, brown.
So I told everybody at the beginning of this broadcast, Daryl, that when I called you earlier, I said, hey, I'm going to do an episode of Randomized. You want to come on? And you're like, yeah, but I'm at the doctor right now. And I'm like, yeah, by the way, how did your gynecologist appointment go? Did you get your vagina fixed?
I'm going to go ahead and get a tampon and shove it up your ass. But anyway. So they're all
yeah,
there, like,
I'm that guy. So I was just talking about, I watched this documentary earlier in the show. I was talking about this, The Fall of Minneapolis. Have you seen that yet, Daryl?
No, I have not yet.
Okay, so either go to my Twitter account or my Facebook page, and I posted on both. Take some time. It's like an hour and 50 minutes long. It's a documentary about what actually happened with the George Floyd incident in Minneapolis in 2020. And all the evidence that was suppressed from the trial and all of the lies that came from the chief of police in Minneapolis, 13th Precinct, I believe, Governor Walz, Mayor Fry. And I also found out that this cocksucker, the DA, Keith Ellison, has been lawyers for gang members for many, many years, and he defends gang members. How the fuck do we got a DA as it's the state of Minnesota? How do we have a DA that defends gang members and refuses to prosecute them? Now you understand why that police officer in what town was that, just east of Minneapolis or west of Minneapolis, that got in that, you know, she accidentally shot the guy rather than pulling her her taser.
Yeah.
She went to jail for 2.5 years. We got a corruption problem in this country, and Minnesota is a very prime example of it. Okay, so you, Darryl, you used to be a police officer, and you know what you have to deal with out there. And here's the best part about this, ladies and gentlemen. Darryl's also a black man. So we get the perspective of a police officer, ex-police officer, military, and a black man. And that's why I love having these conversations with Darryl, because they can't accuse you of being racist if you're the – I mean, it's you. You're telling the story. It's your perspective. It's your experience.
Exactly.
People can listen to me, and they can say, oh, that fucking Johnson, he's a fucking racist. That disrespected truck, that cocksucker, you know. But once we get Darryl on the phone and Darryl on the air – and Darryl can share his personal experiences as a police officer, as a black man, as a person that's in the military, they don't have any argument. So share with us, if you would, Darryl, some of the experiences that you have encountered as a police officer and even as just a citizen, as a black man. I want the audience to hear what you think of the George Floyd incident and things that you experienced as a police officer. Now I'll shut up.
Well, okay. Things I experienced as a police officer. You know, I did have one lady. She kind of looked at this white lady. There was some kind of call it was, and I showed up, and she just kind of looked at me like I was crazy. I'm like, do you want some help? Well, you're a black officer. I was like, yeah, that doesn't make a difference. If you want my help, I'll help you. In other words, I called the sergeant and said, you know what? She doesn't need my help. I'm gone. But one thing I like about my sergeant is like, well, apparently if he's not good enough for you, then apparently you don't need us. So I give him credit on that. My thing is, when I was a police officer, I gave people respect. I don't care if you are a lifelong criminal. There's some people out there, they don't understand the law. And it's up to us to come explain this to you. Now, I will come to someone with some respect, but don't get it wrong. They come at me, if they disrespect me, we're going to start all over, and I'm going to let them know. Either A, we can do this the easy way, where, here, I am officer, you are, okay, because I know who you are. Let's find out what's going on. Or, you know, I know you have a warrant. Don't run from me. Don't act stupid. Let's just go ahead and bring you in so you can go ahead and get your thing taken care of. Now, have I had to throw some people on the ground? Yes, because you want to put hands on me, I'm going to protect myself. Now, the thing I always said, anytime a fight will come on, but once the handcuffs are on, it's over with, period. You know, as a police officer, I did not tolerate anybody spitting on me, because if you and me walking down the street, someone spits on you, what you going to do? Jeremy, you're going to turn around and knock them out, aren't you? I'm going to do the same thing. If I walk and spit on someone else, they're going to turn around and do the same thing to me. So, you know, people need to understand, you have to respect each other, period. I'm not going to say the police officer has more – the police officer does have a lot of responsibilities. But when it comes to meeting people, you know what? We have to treat you with respect, but at the same time, you bring it back. Now, here's the caveat to this. You got people that are just criminals. Their thing is to get away from the police officer. We're here to catch you. That's what we're supposed to do. But at the same time, you know, I'm going home at the end of the night. If someone pulls a gun on me, then you already told me what your intentions are. Your intentions are to take me out. There's no warning shots. There's no shot fired up in the air. I'm not shooting to wound you. It's either you or me. That's just how it is. If you're out in the street, it's the same thing. You know what? Let's take away the police part. If someone comes at you in the street and they're going to come and try to take your life, what are you going to do? You're going to protect yourself. And if you got to, your thing is better them than me. But as a police officer, I mean, I treated people with respect. They came back with me, and I helped people. And I've even explained the laws to a lot of people, the way I did police work, I took the time out of my busy schedule to talk to people and say, okay, this is what you're doing. This is what you're doing wrong. You know what? You need to correct this. Because as a man or as a man or woman or as an adult, you have your responsibilities that you need to take care of. And if I have to intervene in it, that means now you force me in a predicament where I'm going to have to help you to take care of it. Now, so with me, I've never had any issues with people. I had, you know, I even came to the point where I said, if you see me on the street, say hello to me. I'll say hi to you. You want me to sit down and talk to you? I'll take that time out and talk to you. But, you know, it hurts me that, you know, we have people saying, well, police officer are bad. You know what? You have bad people in no matter what occupation you have, you have bad people. Like I told someone, they said, well, police officers, they're all bad. I said, well, then you can turn around. And the police officers, I said, they can turn around and say citizens are all bad, which we all know that's not the case. We have bad apples no matter what you do. Unfortunately, we have a news media that doesn't cover all the good stuff that people do. They want to go ahead and concentrate on the bad stuff so they can go ahead and get people to start being pissy at each other. Now, let's bring it to this George Floyd thing. It irritated me on all levels. You know, you have people that are prominent, that are black folks that are prominent, and the only thing they did not sit back and say, hold on, let's see what happened. Their thing is, you know what, we don't like what happened, and no matter what it is, we're just going to throw guilt. And then here it is. If we had leaders that would have stood up and said, hold on, let's see what happened, then all of a sudden the truth would have came out, and then it's like, oh, okay, there's fault on both sides. Yeah.
So that actually happened through the Floyd trial, where they proved that the defense for Derek Chauvin proved that there was some shit going down. And instead of the leaders admitting that, you know what, there's new evidence and it proves that Derek Chauvin or any of the other three officers actually follow protocol and follow training standards, the chief of police lied and said that's not a training protocol, kneeling on the upper back, not on the neck, but on the upper back. They showed that video of that training actually in the handbook in the Minneapolis Police Department, and the judge denied it being allowed in court. And they also proved that, oh, fuck, dude, my brain is a mushy mess tonight, dude, because when I watched this like almost 24 hours ago. At 2 o'clock in the morning, I watched this, Daryl, 3 o'clock in the morning. And the things that they proved in that documentary that weren't allowed in court, and rather than like Governor Walz or Mayor Fry, you know, admitting, you know what, okay, there's other evidence, they doubled down and went along with the lie. And that's what our politicians do, not only in Minnesota, but nationwide. They don't want to admit when they're wrong. Because it hurts their – go ahead.
But here's the thing. You're right, because I was going to lead to that. These politicians, and I will never call myself a politician if I ever get them. I'm a statesman. But these politicians, they do not know how to say, oops, we made a mistake. You have these leaders that can't say, oops, we made a mistake. How about this part? How come not one of these leaders said, you know what? We got to start working on ourselves to start doing better. Instead of waiting for an excuse to go ahead and say, well, the white man did this. The white man is doing this. The white man did this to us. The white man did this to us 300 damn years ago. Who the freak cares what happened 300 years ago? Let's deal with the now. Because the now is we have leaders who are supposed to be spokesmen of the black population, and they're not. They're traitors. And the reason I'm saying traitors is this. You see the Democratic Party and what they're made of. They're following the same rule book as when they first developed. And the thing is,
Marxism.
They step back and it's Marxism, period. And then the thing is, even Johnson, President Johnson at the time, he even said, you know, these black folks are getting a little uppity, so let's have them in office. And when you have people in office who is not true to what's going on, who is not true to what into helping people, these are the monsters. Let me repeat that. These are the monsters that you have. Because the thing that irritates me the most about anything is when you have these people come up and they can't even say, you know what, the police officer, what he did, it was wrong. As a police officer, I don't need to put my knee on your neck unless it's a life-threatening thing and we're a fight to the death. When it comes to that, anything goes. But on that, even a lot of my other police officers, they looked at that. It's like, that, no, we wouldn't even done. We would have put our knee on their back, but not on their neck. But then, okay, but see, you have officers that say, you know what, yeah, that part was wrong. But then you have the people in the black community, they're sitting up here, no matter what evidence was shown, that says, hey, there were some things, that protocol that was correct. How come no one says, wait a minute. Why did
– Zero.
Because of the – huh?
Yeah. I don't mean to interrupt you, but if the white man is so racist as a black man, then why in 1870 was it ratified, the 15th Amendment, that nobody should be denied the right to vote on the color of their skin?
You know, go back.
That wasn't voted on because black men voted on that. That was voted on because white men voted to allow black people to vote. And when I say allow, it hurts me because nobody should be allowed to vote. We all deserve that right to vote. But before 1870, the black population was not allowed to vote in this country.
That's true, but,
and it was ratified in 1870 and voted on by white men to allow black people to vote, which means that the white men basically said, hey, yeah, black men get the equal rights as white men or Hispanic men or Chinese men in this country.
But
that's
see,
what people don't
forward.
Understand.
You
they
have
don't
to go
know
back
history.
Further, though. They don't.
Yeah,
and,
oh, yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, Darryl.
You got to go back farther because the Underground Railroad, there are white people that has died, that got hung for helping black folks. There are white folks that got beat up because they stood up for black folks. But see, the people who are sitting back want you to have all this hate, they don't want you to understand that part. They don't want you to understand that that a lot of these generals, some of these generals with these black regiments, they're like, I'm going to go to battle with them. And they did go to battle with them, but they don't want to mention that. They don't want to mention anything that goes against their hate, and that's all that is hate. Any person that sits up there and says white men are this and that and they're just evil, you are a very hateful person because you don't want to sit back and open up your eyes and look at things because all of us helped each other. White folks died helping black folks on the Underground Railroad. White folks died helping black folks doing things, period. you cannot come to me and say all white people are evil, because they are not. Only an ignorant person, and I will say that again, only an ignorant person will say that. I will say that in front of Maxine Waters. I will say that in front of the whatever his freaking name is, the one that that lost all the weight. He used to be really fat and stuff. That he's always – the only time he shows up, if it's a white person doing something. But you have all these people that sit back and say, well, all these white people are not good. Okay, where's Al Sharpton? That's who I want. Where's Al Sharpton when we got in Chicago? Let's go a little further. Okay, for all you people that says Obama was so great, he's from Chicago. What did he do to help these people out here? You know, Chicago still had a high rate of black folks killing each other. And what did he do? Nothing. Period. It would have been nice if he would have done something, but he didn't.
Dude, you have immigrants that have flooded over the border, the southern border, in the last 3 years at record numbers. And many of them are from Central America. Everybody thinks when they think immigrant, it's a Mexican. No, dude.
No.
They're from China. They're from, what was it, 186 countries or something like that. It was an astronomical amount of number. But anyway, the Venezuelans getting up to Chicago, where they're relocating, they're bussing them up there or flying them up there. So they get there, and they realize that the American dream is dead. They're asking for fucking plane flights back to Venezuela. When you're asking to go back to Venezuela, a socialist country, we got big problems. I mean, holy shit. And just me saying that, Daryl. By the way, I wanted to give you a little accolades for the monologue you just went on. So hold on, here it is.
I love you, brother.
I love you too, my man. Well, you know, and the thing is, when you were talking about the immigrants and these democratic cities, now. And nothing against, you know, the people coming over, because you know what? We have Biden, who's a bigot, that opened up our borders. And then here we are. Who's getting kicked out of the lines? It is black folks, poor white people who've been sitting up there in these lines waiting to get housing. And what happens? Well, all these illegals come in and they say, well, you know what? We're going to push you aside, and then we're going to give them everything. And when I say everything, nothing against anybody, but when they got everything, they got health care, they got phones, they got this, they got that. And then you have people who are Americans, they're like, wait a minute, why are you pushing us to the side? We were here first. You're not even taking care of us. But then they want to turn around and say, the white folks are evil? Well, if you want to talk about someone who's evil, let's talk about George Soros. That is an evil man. But, see, they don't want to talk about him. Because with Kamala Lama Ding Dong and her things of, you know, all you people go out and riot and tear things up with the bail money, who do you think supplied them with the bail money? It was George Soros. But you don't hear them talking about him.
Nobody understands, Daryl, that George Soros is very heavily involved in influencing in politics worldwide. And he has spent millions and millions and millions of dollars installing federal judges, installing politicians, all the way down almost to your local school board. This guy hates life, honestly. He was asked in an interview once, they asked him straight out, do you believe in God? And without a hesitation, he goes, no. And he looked right at him like he didn't even hesitate. And I'm like, that is a motherfucker that you want to keep away from everybody, everything, and anything involving influencing people, other people's lives. Our country,
exactly,
and worldwide country, or worldwide governments could be, we could live in peace. We could live harmoniously, or however you want to say it, harmoniously. with each other. If people like George Soros did not exist on this earth, I am very convinced at this point, Daryl, that George Soros is the Antichrist, or at least a spawn of it, the Antichrist. That fucking guy, if you knew his history, you would puke. Dude, what he did in Nazi Germany and faked that he was the stepson, they groomed this fucking guy, the Nazis did. If you knew the story behind this, you would question everything that you've ever believed in, like I did, which changed my whole perspective about life and politics and everything. And the people that are involved with him, the World Economic Forum with Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates, Jesus H, man, these motherfuckers are the epitome of evil. They are evil.
Oh, yeah. They are definitely evil. But see, you know why? The reason they can get away with a lot of this stuff and no one does anything, because a lot of people, they don't do a simple thing, is just reading. Let's look at Black Lives Matter, okay? They are anti-Christ. They are anti-men being in
nuclear
family.
Nuclear
family. They do not want the black man in the family. But then you have people that they're throwing money to them, and they didn't. And they had it on their website, but no one read the website. And if anybody really understands the slogan "Black Lives Matter," they didn't come up with that. That was done years ago from another guy where they were having race issues, and brought it to attention, and things started calming down. And then I'm going to call it like it is. These clowns came up here, Black Lives Matter. They end up taking this slogan, and people ran with it without doing their research. And then I'll tell that to anyone. Black Lives Matter, they just, only thing they did, they lied for one. Because one of the first things they said is we're against corporations. What happened? They turned into a corporation. And then they end up doing all these crazy things, which it got them in trouble, because now they're up there buying all this land and stuff in real estate. Let me ask you, I didn't see them holding a seminar for poor black folks to learn how to buy land or anything. They didn't do that. When they had all these riots, I didn't see them coming in and saying, you know what, man, no, I'm sorry, poor black person, that, and all you poor folks that have businesses, that we came in and ruined it all, and some of you don't even have insurance, but you know what, it's okay, we ruined it, and we're just going to keep on going. They didn't come back and try to rebuild. Where were the leaders to say, hey, you know what, why are you looting in your own neighborhood? Because if I was the governor of that state, I would have told everybody, all you that's looted, I'm just letting you know right now, we're going to go ahead and, just like on January 6th, I'm going to look at all the video footage, and guess what, Mr. Police Officer is going to be coming knocking at your door, and you're going to be paying the piper. There's the problem that we have. We have no one wanting to put anyone it with any responsibility at all. I don't care if you're black. I don't care if you're white. I don't care if you're pink. I don't care if you're rich. I don't care if you're poor. I don't care if you had nothing. When you do know from right from wrong, you choose to do right or wrong. And if you choose to do wrong, there are going to be repercussions. And right now, we have people that are in power that are saying, no repercussions, but then what happened to the victims? And then they want to go ahead and say, well, we don't want you to have guns, but we'll go ahead and spend multi-billions of dollars to go ahead and get guns and train these other people for civilians so they can shoot and go after people. But you want to take away our rights? And people don't see that?
Daryl, you got to let me take it, brother.
Huh?
You got to let me take this for a second.
Go for it.
You remember Breonna Taylor from Louisville, Kentucky, that was shot by the police serving a search warrant on her boyfriend? Her mother came out and said, Black Lives Matter has not given us a fucking penny of any of the money they raised for Breonna Taylor. Now, here's where I'm going to take it. And I know you know where I'm going to go with this.
Yep.
the co-founder of Black Lives Matter is said to have connections with George Soros. It's actually, the rumor is that this is his daughter. Because if you look up, and I don't remember her name right now, and I'll look this up later, but if you look up the co-founder that bought three mansions with the Black Lives Matter, her baby's daddy, $970,000, she's only has it listed as a mother, not parents. Her mother, and again, I don't remember her name, has said to have had a relationship with George Soros back in the day, and this is the offspring. Now, you go to Susan Rosenberg. Susan Rosenberg was prosecuted in the early 80s for bombing, literally bombing the United States Capitol. And I believe the group was called the M-19s. I'm pretty sure it's the M-19s. Anyway, she was not accused, but prosecuted for bombing the United States Capitol, killing police officers, armored trucks, all that shit. She got sentenced to like 50-some years in prison. Bill Clinton pardoned her on his last day of office, literally pardoned this lady on his last day of office. She went on to be the vice chair for Thousand Currents. Thousand Currents is responsible for the fundraising for Democratic Party, Act Blue, and Black Lives Matter. She was the vice chair for that. So if you guys don't think this shit is all connected, we are so manipulated and lied to, it's beyond fucking belief. So at one point in time, about, I don't know, 3 years ago, maybe four, I went to my mom and dad's house, and I was telling my dad about this Act Blue. He's like, well, what's that? I said, it's a Democratic fundraising platform. I said, but check this shit out. So I clicked on to blacklivesmatter.com, and I pushed a button right in front of my mom and dad. I pushed a button, donate, and it went right to Act Blue. I said, does that tell you something, Mom? And my mom looked at me, and she goes, oh, that can't be true. I said, you just seen it with your two eyes. I literally did that right on the Internet, right in front of you. People don't want to believe that we are involved in such corruption and such divisiveness and deceitful behavior. They don't want to know that. They don't want to see it because it hurts their perception of what they thought life was. Our life is nothing but a fucking scam. All of it. Every little bit of it. Everything that you were taught in school was force-fed to you. History, everything. Nothing is true. Very few parts of it, I should say. Because I haven't gone down that rabbit hole yet. But this is what they're doing to us, ladies and gentlemen. It's called indoctrination. And I just wanted to get in here and explain that little bit, because there's a lot of shit that people think they're so fucking well-informed on, like I did 3 years ago. I thought I was the most well-informed person in the face of this earth because I read the headlines and I read the news stories. No, I was being indoctrinated just like the rest of you. And I don't hate you. You just don't understand yet.
You know, and the thing is, you know, in order for people to understand and learn from each other, you know, I'll talk to anybody, even if you have a different point of view, because I want to know, me personally, even if I don't agree with you, I respect the point being that you sat down and you talked to me, and that gets me to think, okay, what is it that you see that I don't? But then hopefully you can do the same thing, because that's what we have lost. And, you know, ever since COVID hit, they have lost their minds. People act like as soon as you say something, and instead of sitting back and saying, you know what, let me listen because maybe I can learn something, we want to go ahead and say, oh, you offend me, oh, you're a racist, or you're that, or I don't want to hear nah. And when someone throws a fact in your face, and it's a fact right there in black and white, then you can't accept it. But then if you can't accept it, then how do you expect these legislators to accept it? Because now you're saying, well, they ought to be able to tell, say, if, you know, admit to when they're wrong. Well, then how about you do the same? And then Start voting for people who are right. Don't vote because of a D or an R. Start paying attention to them, because right now they don't want you to understand, like us common people. They don't want us to understand politics. Why? Because just like I hear from some people, no matter what the race is, well, you know, it's kind of boring. But then you get mad because the person you voted for doesn't give a rat's butt about you, but you wasn't keen enough to do your own research. And basically, people, you got to smarten up. The government, this government, they don't care about your smartness. They just want you to be dumb and stupid. They'd rather give you free money so that way you're dumb and you're stupid. You know, and somebody's going to say, well, you can't say that. I'm going to say that because that's what you're doing. Because if you're not going to go out here and work, if you're not going to go out here and do some research instead of looking at the news and going by the news, then you're being dumb and stupid. And some of y'all even going to the point of being ignorant because you won't even try to understand what's going on. You won't even try to pick up a book to do any research. And if you can't do that, then if life passes you by and then later on you're going to sit back and wonder what happened because it was your fault, because you wasn't man or woman enough to say, you know what, I don't need my friends to tell me what to do. Let me figure it out on my own.
I was just talking about this, Daryl, to my girlfriend earlier tonight. And I don't like to announce this stuff or let people know what I do in the background. I do help people. I try to help people. I get messages all the time, hey, I need groceries or I need this or I need that. And that's okay. I've put that out there that you could do that. God has put me in a position where I'm able to help people to a certain extent. And
right.
I put out a post the other day, actually I think it was this morning, that I literally cannot afford to help the people that need the help that I am able to give. And I've had two friends three generously donate. To a single mother of seven in a town, you know, about an hour from us that I've helped in the past. And tomorrow morning I'm going to help, I'll just say it publicly, I'm going to pick up a transgender person and bring them and get groceries for them because they're hungry. And them and their partner or wife or whatever you want to call it, they need my help. I don't care what you identify as. I don't care what your lifestyle is. I don't, if you need my help, I'll help you. And that's what I'm about to do. And my girlfriend asked, she's like, well, why don't they like help themselves? Why don't they get a job? I said, here's the deal. With the way the economy is and the way the system is set up, they can go get a job, sure, and make, you know, $300-$400 a week, if that, and work 40 hours a week, and then lose all of their benefits. They live in assisted living, which means, or not assisted living, but income-based, and then they lose that benefit too. They don't get food stamps. They don't get assisted income-based living. They don't get free bus passes to get to the grocery store or wherever they need to go. They lose all of their benefits.
Right.
And I said, you know, Gary Johnson in New Mexico, when he was governor, set up a system, and he told the welfare recipients in, and everybody called Gary Johnson a nut job. That was the media helping the establishment, not letting a guy that had common sense get into office when he ran for president back in, I don't know, 2012, whatever it was. But he set up a system in New Mexico. He was a libertarian. And he said, he told all of the welfare recipients, if you go out and get a job, we're not going to take all of your benefits away. We want to give you a hand up. We want to make sure that you gain footing in this life and work yourself out of the welfare system. And he saved New Mexico millions and millions and millions of dollars because all these welfare recipients are like, shit, I can actually go out now, get a job, be a part of society, do my part, pay taxes, by the way, and not lose all of my benefits, or I can still live and you know, not be living paycheck to paycheck or suffering. And guess what happened? The Democratic Party in New Mexico sued him because it was unconstitutional of what he was doing with helping people, by the way. And they won in court. And it ruined his career because of it. And, well, that and because when he was running for president, the media asked him, well, what do you think about of Aleppo? That was Iran, I believe, at the time. And he's like, oh, I don't know what Aleppo is. Well, if you don't know what that is, nobody fucking knew what that was. The media set him up. The establishment set him up. And every time somebody does good or tries to do good in this country, they get fucking brutal death threats, and they just get – dude, when I was involved with the People's Convoy, why do you think I shut the fuck up now? Because what they put me through, what the federal government put me through, and what these crazy Antifa fucks put me through, why the fuck do I want to stand up anymore? Nobody gets that because they've never lived a fucking minute in my shoes. And Daryl knows this shit. I've told Daryl about this. But that's what's happening, ladies and gentlemen. Everything is a fucking smoke and mirror dog and pony show. That's all it is. Go ahead, Daryl.
Oh, see, at the same time, though, you got to have people who's going to go ahead and fight. Because I might run for office again. And I am not afraid of the media. I am not afraid of any of these people that'll sit back and say, well, you're that. You know what? You dig into my life. I don't care. You know what? I'm 59 daggone years old. I live life. I wasn't perfect. You're going to find shit on me. I don't care. And if you have to do that, then that means you're a threat. That means you're on the right side of things. And things are set up. It is disgusting that you have people who wants to go out and work. Like you said, you're helping this transgender family out. You know, they want to work, but they can't because the way the government set things up, if you go out and work, then you're going to lose all your benefits. How about this? You know what? Let them go work and have it where there's a step up where you're going to keep your benefits until you get to a certain point. And then it's like, okay, now you have enough where you can start making it on your own, because that's what it was set up for in the first place. It was set up for – it's called assistance for a reason. It's not called a government paycheck. It's called assistance. So you can assist yourself to get to a point where you don't have to worry about it anymore. And it's just the same thing with people who take care of their kids that are crippled, that have mental illnesses. You know, you have them at this job, and they can't go out and make more money, because if they go out and make more money, then as soon as they make more money, the system's going to come out and say, nope, we're going to snatch everything from you. What kind of crap is that? But then you're going to let some person that can work, that doesn't have any illness, no nothing, they can get out there and get a freaking job, and they can survive. But yet, they was like, well, here, we'll just give you some money so you don't do anything. That is the most ridiculous thing that I have ever heard. And we have people that are in, like you said, what party was that that said, you know, we're going to sue him because he's trying to do something for people so they can uprise and to be able to live and take care of themselves and not depend on the government? It's the Democratic Party. They've always been like that. You know, I'm not saying the Republican Party is the best thing out there since sliced bread, because they got their dang-on issues too. But the Democratic Party is so freaking evil right now. They want you to they want you under their thumb. They don't want you to own anything. And the funny thing about it, Jeremy, when we were talking on the Disrespect the Trucker show, do you remember when we were talking about the digital money and how they want you to own nothing? Now, all of a sudden, that's slowly beginning to come up now. And we mentioned this almost over a year ago. So all you people that sit back and you hear someone says, well, you know, they're a theorist and da-da-da, all these people who are these theorists that you're talking about, they've been telling you the truth. How about this, folks? Start opening up your minds. listen to this garbage the government is telling you and all these news media, and start searching for yourself and see the stuff. Because until you do, it's just like the Matrix. You're going to be ignorance is bliss for a lot of these people. And I hate to say it that way, but the truth of it is the truth. A lot of people don't want to get educated. They just like, well, I'm getting mine. I'm okay. Until the shit hits the fan, and then they're going to wonder why.
The facts don't care about your motherfucking feelings.
Exactly. People, they need to understand that. Ooh, nuclear blast.
Yeah, that was my
bomb
explosion right there.
Baby. Oh, boy.
You fucking maniac. Oh, I forgot to share your incoming song. Here we go.
I'd like to shoot you in the ass with the BB gun.
Good. Yeah. Give me my choice. I want to be a daggone BB gun.
No, dude, you know, I kind of want to end the show here. We're moving on to an hour and a half, and I'm glad you called in, Daryl, because okay. I really wanted your perspective. And I've talked to Daryl about doing a different broadcast called The Racist, talking about race issues and bringing stats to the table to let people just hear for themselves that what the media is doing, they're lying to you. They're pushing their agenda, which is a division agenda, in order for the WEF to do their agenda 2030. And if you haven't read into it, I know it sounds dystopian, it sounds just crazy, but if you read into this shit, like you really figure out fast, like holy fuck. We are in the midst of them doing what they want to do. I told Daryl, I said, it's important, I think, for a guy like me I'm just an honest guy, dude. I just want to be honest. I don't want to lie to you. I don't want to have to, push my agenda or any certain agenda onto you. I just want to share what I know and what the facts that I see and the statistics that I see. And I told Daryl, I said, it's important that guys like me, who's I'm a 6'6", 300-pound white guy that just drives a truck for a living, that takes the time to actually dig into shit. And to have a gentleman like Daryl, who happens to be a black man, that used to be a police officer that serves in the United States military, and that ran for lieutenant governor in Colorado, I think it's important to hear both sides of the perspective or the both sides of the coin, whatever, however you want to say it. For the audience to say, okay, so these guys they come from different backgrounds. They're different skin colors, which skin color doesn't matter shit to me, honestly. I mean, we still have a brain. We're still a human being. But because of the media, the brainwashing that's happened in the last however many decades, I think it's important that people get to see the perspective of these are two guys that they love each other, not in that sense, but because they're friends and we appreciate each other and we understand each other and they come from totally different backgrounds. They're different skin colors. They have a different history. It's important for the American people to understand that we are just people at the end of the day. We're not black. We're not white. We're not, rich or poor. Well, I mean, we are, but we aren't. We are people at the end of the day. And shouldn't we fight for humanity? Shouldn't we fight to have everybody's voice equally heard? And it's not about Democrat or Republican. It's about being a fucking human being and helping each other according to what the gospel says. So on that note, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to give Daryl probably the next 45 minutes for his final thoughts.
Time.
No, I want to give Daryl a couple minutes to give his final thoughts, and then I'll give my final thoughts, and then we will end this broadcast. And thanks, Daryl, for joining us. But go ahead and give your final thoughts, brother.
You know what, folks? I'm going to tell y'all right now. For all you people that sit back and try to say that this man is a racist and everything else, you don't know this man like I do. This man is not a racist. He's just going to tell it to you like it is. I will tell it to you like it is. We need more people telling it like it is. When I say tell like it is, not BS. Just coming back with you with some facts. And, you know, the man, he'll sit down and he will talk with you. He may not agree with you, but at least he'll sit down and he'll talk to you. I'm the same way. You know, and me, I'm blessed that I got to meet Jeremy, that he is also my friend. To me, he is family. And I'm glad that he asked me to come on the show tonight. And for all you people out there who don't know me, understand this about me. I'm very truthful. I am very into wanting to say how I feel. And sometimes I'll use choice words because I want your attention. I want you to start thinking because I believe that we have one of the things is the pursuit of happiness. I am proud. I am an American. I am not an Afro-American. I am not a black American. I'm not a brown American. I'm a freaking American. I'm proud to be here, and I'm proud of who I am. I love God. I love this country, and I love family, and I love Jeremy. And I appreciate every last one of y'all who are listening on the show tonight. I love you all. Whether you agree with me or not, I still love you. I'm done. Yeah, I thought you were short.
Warning.
Okay.
Warning. Bullshitter alert. Bullshitter alert. Warning. Warning. Bullshitter alert. Bullshitter alert. Warning. Bullshitter alert.
We have to get you off that switchboard. We're getting you off that switchboard.
19 seconds of me calling Daryl a bullshitter.
We're getting you off that damn switchboard.
No, dude, I appreciate you coming on tonight because, I explained it, your perspective and my perspective, it's two different perspectives. And Bill, if you're still listening, I appreciate you joining the conversation tonight, even though you shot your gun four times and I shit my pants. man, this motherfucker, he's like, you're going to listen to me right now, or I'm going to fucking shoot my 45. I'm like, fuck, okay, I'm listening.
I like Bill. I like Bill.
Oh, Bill's a good shit, man. I like Bill, too. Just an update, ladies and gentlemen, before we jump off here, is Joe Denny. Joe Denny was involved in a bad accident down in Dallas, Texas. I seen a picture of him tonight. He's back on Facebook. He shared a picture of his beard. He had a big-ass beard, and he had a lot of hair, and he shaved everything off because, according to him, he had to run through 20 feet of fire to escape that accident because they hit him on the driver's side in the fuel tank and it immediately went into flames and he had to run through 20 feet of fire. So thankfully the only thing that got burnt was his hair. But he had to shave his hair and does he look not like Joe Denny? He could tell it's Joe, but I'm glad he's doing better. And I reached out to Joe and I said, Joe, you got to give me an exclusive, be on my radio show. He said, absolutely, brother, anything for you. So when Joe is feeling better and is getting better and feels like he can come on air for an hour, I'm going to bring Joe live on air and let him tell you exactly what he went through. But that's for a future show. In the meantime, listen on Wednesday nights to Bikerson and Gibbs, which is Daryl, which is on the phone right now. And they're on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. They bring you a lot of information, just like I do. Me, Chris, and Daryl used to do our show together called the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. I was getting burnt out with everything that I was involved with. I asked them to go on Wednesday nights because I had a Tuesday night show, which we switched to Thursday night. So I'm still involved with a lot of things, but I do want to do more special episodes. Let's call it special episodes, special ed episodes with Daryl. To talk about race issues in America, especially when there's a major news story involving race or race issues. And today, after I watched that documentary, The Fall of Minneapolis, I thought I got to do a radio show about this and inform people that they're being lied to. And who else best to bring on is Daryl Gibbs, who's a black man who used to be a police officer. And I thought, fuck, dude, we have to talk about this. Unfortunately, Daryl wasn't able to join us at the beginning of the broadcast because of, you know, his gynecologist appointment lasted a little bit longer than normal.
When I see you, I'm going to slap you on your forehead.
But anyway, Daryl, brother, you know I love you, man, and I might say some racy shit, and at the bottom or at the end of the day, Daryl knows that I'm not a racist motherfucker. I'm just a pretty up in your face honest guy, and I don't mean to hurt anybody. I want to help humanity, and part of that is telling you the truth and telling you that you've been lied to about a lot of things. So on that note, ladies and gentlemen, Daryl, my brother, thank you so much for joining the broadcast of Randomized tonight. And everybody else that's listened, thank you guys so much for listening to me. And again, I apologize if I get, you know, off the cuff sometimes and start using the motherfucker all the time and calling you names. I'm not calling you names. I'm calling the people that I fucking hate names. And I don't hate a lot of people, but there's some of those cocksuckers out there I really don't like. Anyway. All right. Love you guys. You guys all have a good night. God bless. And I'll talk to you soon.
I love you, brother. God bless.